listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 22nd. I can't believe it. My name is Michael Kelly, and I am here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here. We're almost saying goodbye to 2021.
Absolutely. And one of my most repeated phrases this year is, I can't believe it's already this date. Whatever date that's been, I can't believe it's been that.
There you go.
Well, as we begin to close this year out, we thank those that have taken the time to join us live in the chat. Always appreciate your input. And we appreciate you joining us from the archives, catching up with us sometime in your week. This Spirit of Life program is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Before we get into tonight's topic, we'll of course begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And on to tonight's topic, grief and farewells. And
Michael, as we were talking before the program, how I'd like to launch, if that's all right.
I had a whole monologue I was going to do, but you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you call my bluff. I had nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. Sheesh. But really, we're nearly at the end of this year, and it really, in the last week or two, it brought to mind how many things. Experiences from relationships to moving to trauma, all these things that people have been experiencing. Look, we always have these things in our life, but the last year or two has been particularly profound, I think. So it's how we say goodbye to things, goodbye to certain elements in our life or experience in our life. And I'm not going to touch on for a while here about saying goodbye to people due to death from one manner or another, which is in and of itself its own topic, I believe. Mm-hmm. What I really want to say is each of us, in our own ways, has had to let go of where we lived or, a job or a relationship or a friendship or dealt with some kind of big event, and there's this, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross would say there's the 7 stages of to death and dying, and dying can be metaphorical too, not literal. It's how we go through these stages: the shock and the trauma, disbelief and denial, and so on. All these, stages that we go through. But we don't realize that we're going through those processes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We're always kind of catching up with ourselves, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know?
In some manner.
Well, you know, really thinking about this and thinking about all the different ways in which we grieve. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, dying, and that's, it's really a lot of time, a lot of it is dealing with change, and death, of course, being the biggest change. But it's also when something that we become attuned to, be it a person, a relationship, a situation, something that has become a part of ourselves in life, a part of our, you know, humans, we carve out our little existence, we carve out our niche, and it, especially with living things, it becomes in many ways, you know, I won't say necessarily an extension of ourselves, but we become entangled, intertwined with that thing. And when it's removed, when it's lost, it leaves an emptiness where it once was. And that's, you know, of course, the root of grief, be it again, be it just a relationship ending, you know, that is no longer there. There's an emptiness there. There's a part of that kind of abstract thing, it had occupancy in your soul. It had occupancy in who you are. It was part of how you defined not only yourself but the world around you in a lot of ways, depending on how deep the relationship is, depending on maybe a career, you know. A lot of us define ourselves by our careers, and when something happens at work, when something happens with your job, it can have a huge impact, and there's a grieving process to that.
You know, it's kind of like if you have your favorite mug, and you've had your favorite mug for 20 years, and then it breaks. Right away, you're thinking about all the history to that mug. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mug. Oh, I've been drinking out of that mug since the kids were little and that happened. And you have all these memories associated with that mug. And there is, even if it's just for 5 minutes, there are those 5 minutes where that event now brings you into a moment of, as you're saying too, Michael, that void, because now this is gone. Mm-hmm. But what are all those? So we're reconciling so many things. Well, the simple thing is you go get another mug, because it's just a material thing. But gee, you love that mug.
Right.
But when it comes to other, as you say, when we have attachments to living beings, or even what I think is a home, if you've lived in your home for a while and so many events happen there, I call that like a living experience also. So if you have to move. But when you, you know, we know some people in the chat and yourself and others who've had other great losses this year, whether it's a canine friend, you know, or somebody's moved across the country, or somebody's kids moved away, and all of these, you know, and you moved, Michael, from one place into another. So there's all these transitions. But if we open up that transition for a moment, because we're all, you know, forcefully going forward, if we open that experience up, there is that grief in there.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Grieving, that acknowledgement of the void, how you're filling that up. But hopefully the process being that we don't leave a piece of ourselves behind. That's the key. It's like we don't stunt ourselves. You know, very often if we have a trauma like 20, 30 years ago and you haven't dealt with it, well, you've stunted your own growing in a way. So the same happens with grief if we don't catch up with ourselves.
Well, you know, I think maybe it's just a little poetic semantics, but, you know, I think when we lose something, you know, we do lose a little bit of ourselves that gets left behind, but it's not a zero-sum game. You know, we're always adding to ourselves as well with new experiences. Mm-hmm. When we engage in a new relationship, it's adding to ourselves. You know, as we leave something behind, but we gain new things. And I think what, you know, the thing that I really grab onto, which is what you said, is you can't let it stagnate you. You can't let it hold you back. You can't live in the past. We have to be able to move on We have to be able to deal with change, and we have to be able to keep, persevering, because it's the only choice we have.
The key is, though, how do we do that? You know, Dr. Raven has said something in the chat already. Like departing from a community, even like high school, there's a letting go when you've had 4 years of routine, seeing those individuals 5 days a week for 4 years. There's a grieving there. And I totally relate to that. She also adds, but then we move to the next experience of the next community. But I think we also look back and say, wonder what they're doing these days, or you're kind of catching up with yourself, wondering about what happened to those old friends. And trust me, I think you do that the rest of your life. In a way.
It's human nature.
Yeah. Allison is saying that her daughter moved out and she feels conflicted with being proud of her daughter, but depressed she's grown up. It's like a breakup, but bittersweet.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
the kind of grieving that we're recognizing tonight in this program, is acknowledging those moments of, because the adult in us says we have to let this go, we're going to move forward. But there is those moments where how then do we move forward in a good way and not get caught up in some kind of emotional suppression, or where we don't even know that we're acting out because we're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know we're grieving, that kind of thing. So I'd like to address that a little bit more. And being metaphysicians, we acknowledge, at least generally speaking, that we are spirits in a physical body having a human experience. So it's really about maintaining that spiritual connection and recognizing that we are evolving, we're growing, we're constantly changing, and that the flaw, I think, of our existence is trying to hold on to things and trying to control things. So if you're trying to even control your grief, you're going to fail.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Well, we have to be mindful of, what is not only possible to control, but what do we have a right to control?
Mm.
And I would argue that, everything is a choice that we make in life. I'm going to argue that I think there are certain things that are worth hanging on to as hard as you can and to fight for. But it's a judgment call. It's going to change from situation to situation. And you have to be flexible. And when to borrow a phrase, which, I think is actually probably going to go out of style, but to borrow a phrase from the olden times, there are situations where the fat lady is sung and you have to acknowledge that it's over.
Hmm. I think I'd like to make the distinction also about control and management. And this has made it so much easier for myself, is that I can't control a lot of what's going on. I can only manage my own feelings, my own behavior, and manage the change.
Right.
And, of course, the older we get, the more life experience we have and say, well, I've been through all of that. I can deal with this. And I can manage my way through. So I think even in grief, we try to control grief. We try to control life. We try to control events. And so it's being a good life manager.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good way to put it.
So when we can manage, I have to manage myself. Sometimes I even have to parent myself, in my own behavior. So if I'm self-aware, self-awake, I can see when, those are old feelings coming out, or those are old hiccups, because we all have stuff. Well, I don't have stuff. You have stuff, Michael. No, but you don't have stuff. No, I'm kidding.
Lord knows I have stuff, let me tell you.
So we all have that. So it's about how do we become better life managers? And managing grief and understanding that that's a very natural process. Each of us does it differently,
mm-hmm.
and for different periods of time. Some things you never recover from, and you got to be okay to live with the pain of that.
Yeah.
And that's managing pain. So it's not about controlling the grief and getting over it, getting through it and moving on. It's about, oh, you know what? My heart is always going to hurt with this. And I'm going to be able to manage that pain, that heaviness in my heart.
You know,
I can learn to live with that.
Exactly. To say that, you know, this is going to hurt and it's going to hurt forever, but that's okay. Because it's bittersweet in many ways. To think of lost loved ones is bittersweet. It is the joy of remembering them. It is the joy of having had them in your life. And it is the pain of no longer having it. But if we, it's kind of like, it just, that's how it comes with life. If we didn't have the pain, we wouldn't have the memory, right? And then we wouldn't have something beautiful as well. And it is...
You know, sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was... I think we had a little lag in there. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Michael. Audra is saying in the chat that she's having feelings about her son. He's not quite old enough to move out, but it's still weighing on her. And I think that's a natural thing because you're wondering how he'll manage and what your life is going to look like. But again, you can think about those things, but don't try to control them and say, I can manage this. But yeah, that's when you go day by day. Wow.
Yeah.
Even Dr. Edwards says he grieves for the silliest of things, like having to throw away, you know, a pair of sneakers that brought him a lot of enjoyment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So there's all these things of releasing and being in that moment of gratitude for sharing this. I was gobsmacked the other day when my oldest daughter said about my second daughter, it's coming up on her 40th birthday. I kid you not, Michael, I was gobsmacked for a minute because I had this blip of time and I went, say what? No, she's what? And in that moment, I did this flash of the last 40 years. In that weave of time and space of her and me sharing my life with her and realizing that I have daughters into menopause and they have more gray hair than me. And I'm saying, what? And there is again, and so I have to sit with myself and realizing that I'm grieving, but I'm grieving now for myself. You see,
yeah.
I'm grieving now for me.
For that part of yourself or that time of your life that is no longer.
Well, and grief, I think, for the grace of age, you know, you say, I've been so blessed to share my life with these people, and they're extraordinary, and we all have great relationships. But I'm grieving for me because for a moment I realize I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
You see? And so I need to sit with that for a moment. And the more I sit with that, I'm okay with it, and it's that one day at a time, do you see?
Well,
and just being okay to be a good manager of whatever time is here, if that
right.
makes sense.
No, it does make sense, you know. I think that a Buddhist would say, and, you know, I do hold a lot of Buddhist philosophy, a Buddhist would say that something is beautiful not because it's permanent, but because it's not.
Exactly.
It is the temporary nature of things that adds a, you know, it makes everything utterly unique, and it makes every moment precious. It's like my, and I'll just say this real quick.
Yeah.
It's always been one of my, you know, just fun, you know, thought experiment, playing with things, theories that, you know, the soul exists in a non-corporeal existence where there is no past, present, future. There simply is existence and thought. And my God, how boring that must be so that you can go to the theme park that is called life and you get to experience a finite existence where you don't know everything. And I don't think there's probably currency in this, but maybe just recreation. Just to think about that. Think about the life, even if it's a difficult one, just being a form of almost recreation when compared to limitlessness, infinite existence, almost seems like a curse.
Well, I had a profound moment, and it's well over 20 years ago. I had gone to a big Buddhist Tibetan kind of thing at a museum, displays, and monks were there. And there was one display where they were building a sand painting Michael, this thing was exquisite. Oh my God, these sand paintings.
I was lucky enough to see one in person.
Oh, and the hours and hours and hours of meticulous placement of each of these little grains of sand to make the colors and this huge tapestry. And then the moment came where they dumped it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, what? You know, like, can we take a picture first? Can we hold this this moment of time? Because it was that flow of life, beauty, and it's the joy of doing, not the joy of the finite goal
right.
and having. But I'm thinking also that the next thing they're going to do is separate all those colors of sand again to create other vials of sand. And wow,
maybe
what a process.
Maybe it's just the modern, you know, Western consumer in me, but I'm thinking, that's way too much stuff to organize. We'll get new sand, guys. Just go ahead and sweep that up, dump it. We'll get some new sand. We'll be good.
That is our mentality, isn't it, though? You see? And that's not the Buddhist way.
Right.
It's the process throughout and after and over again. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, everything ultimately is recycled. And, you know, even the Buddha said that there will be a time. Well, Siddhartha Buddha said that he was not the first Buddha. The Buddha was a title. It simply is somebody who is fully enlightened. And he said he was not the first, wouldn't be the last, and that there would be a time where nobody would remember his words or his teachings. You know, even if it lasted thousands of years, everything comes to an end.
It does.
Even if you took a picture of that, you know, sand art, it would fade in time. If you take a digital photograph, you store it on a hard drive. I mean, how long is that hard drive? How long is that society? Even if it's millions and millions of years.
Yeah.
Time cycles. And nothing lasts forever.
Audra is saying that she still has her own 8th grade ceremony dress. She couldn't get rid of it. And I can appreciate that. We do things when we're ready. And I know a good number of years ago, I'd been packing up to get ready to move. My oldest daughter's helping me out. She says, well, you can throw this out and that out. And I said, hold it. That's my stuff. She goes, Mom, but this is all useless and you haven't seen it. I said, yeah, but it's my stuff.
Right.
I'm not ready to let that go now.
Well,
but as I've been purging in these last few years to downsize and minimalize as much as possible, except art supplies, I'm a junkie, but getting rid of things, I'm looking at those very same things that my daughter saw, you know, let's say 20 years ago, and I'm thinking, I'm ready now, you see? And it, because it's my own grieving and my own hanging on to and then letting go.
Right.
And I will say, everyone, the more you can let go, the freer you feel and the less attachment to things that you have, because the only thing truly valuable now is how we interact with each other and the people you love in your life. It's not the stuff.
That's and true.
It's about managing ourselves through life with people.
Well, just like Dr. Edward had mentioned about, you know, hesitating, getting rid of a pair of sneakers because of, you know, how well they've done for him, you know, the time he's had with them. Physical things can bring us back to a moment in our past. It's an artifact. It's a talisman. It is something that we can touch and feel and hold, and we know that it is a physical link to who we were at one point in time. You know, I can't help myself. A couple of, you know, Star Trek references come to mind throughout this conversation. The first, of course, is the oft-maligned Star Trek V Final Frontier, horribly reviewed. It wasn't that bad, but it there have been better. But it was, for those that don't know, the main cast, the crew, they go on an adventure. They're essentially trying to get to the center of the galaxy because there's a belief that God exists there. And part of this process is a charismatic leader who can psychically take away your pain. And he does so, and he makes everybody these brainwashed servants by taking away their pain that they've been carrying as a burden. There is one scene with Captain Kirk, the main character, basically being offered this, and he says, "No, I need my pain. It makes us who we are. You know, it is what teaches us. It's what adds character to our lives, etc." And that's always stuck with me. That's always stuck with me for a long time. And then, just to throw this out, and I'm, you know, I hope I'm not getting some copyright infringement or something going on, but the other one is, and this is a little bit more esoteric. We were talking about, you know, the thought experiment of existing in a non-corporeal time, where there is no past, present, or future. And, you know, we're talking about humans being linear beings. But, you know, that brings to mind this, and I'll just say it quick. Dr. Hunter, I know you're a fellow Trekkie, so you might remember this. It's the premiere to Deep Space Nine, where the main character, the captain in this case, Captain Sisko, meets these aliens that do not exist in linear time. And he's trying to explain to them what it is, and they basically psychically communicate with him, and he keeps bringing them back to the point where his wife died. And he doesn't understand it. He thinks that they're the ones bringing this memory back, but he's actually the one dragging them back. And the long and short of it is, he's existed in this time frame in his mind, just like you were talking about earlier, Dr. Hunter. He did not move on. He was not able to move on at this point in the story, and that is what the story is about his ability to accept and move on. But one thing they said, a line of dialogue, a line from the script was, you know, humans are not corporeal, are non-corporeal, meaning they do not exist in one time and place. Our souls do not necessarily exist in the present. Sometimes we can be held and attached to the past. And that was such an interesting line to me. That's also stuck with me. And that, I think about that when it comes to grief. And when we hold on to things too tightly, it keeps us stuck in the past. You know, it is our nature to flow with time. And
totally agree.
Yeah.
I love those scenes. I was having vivid memory recall, Michael, as you were talking. I remember those scenes, and I remember being touched by, of course, Sisko was one of my favorite of all of them.
I mean,
but yeah.
One of my, you know, the thing I love, and I'll just say this because I've been rewatching a little bit, the thing I love about that character is just a wonderful father, too, and a wonderful dynamic that they've had on that show. Great.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. 5 stars, 2 thumbs up. But let's get back to metaphysics.
Well, you know, Audra said in and this brought something else to mind. This is why I want to mention it. Audra said that while her kids are leaving home, she's grieving for herself while experiencing joy and excitement over their future. And I love rituals. I'm a bit of a ritual nut because with every rite of passage for my kids' lives and even of my own, we do celebrations. Or like a little, even if it's a prayer ceremony. And, you know, so it's that calling all your spirits back into this moment and aligning that and excited for the next passage, even if you don't know what that is. It's like saying, I have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring, and I'm okay with that. But being kind of in that celebration. And look, I'm not dismissing the pain, but even in the pain, there's joy. Because you've gotten through it. You've managed through it. You are here now, despite all that hardship. Now, I'm going to say this to people because, you know, I'm a 2-time cancer survivor. So even with cancer, I say, oh, this is a party with something to do. You know, and then coming on the other side of it, it's celebrating the process and the learning of that. And the gratitude I feel of these things as being a teacher. And I am not dismissing the hardship or the shock and trauma and the scary woo, you know, stuff. Mm-hmm. Not at all. But there's a point where there's a balance in there of all those emotions where you say, I've got this. And whatever comes, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But this is a process. Life is that journey and that evolution. So this is what I recommend to everybody, especially nearing, you know, the end of the year. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it next week as we kiss off 2021.
Well, I think with, you know, whatever gesture feels most appropriate to you. But, yeah, I think this is, you know, a wonderful two-part series, really. You talk about
it is.
Closing one chapter, beginning another.
So this is where I say is just for a moment, just have a little meditation. And whatever things you've transitioned through this year, the challenges, the obstacles, the grieving that you've had, is call your own name back into your body. Just call your own name out loud. Like I would say to myself, Vicky. Yeah, Michael, we've talked about this before. You would do it for yourself. Michael, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's that just being in that calm place for just even a few seconds to say, wow, I'm here now. I'm okay. You know, I'm good. And in fact, it's probably better than I realize at this moment, even though life doesn't make sense to me right now. I don't need it to really make sense. I just need to know I got this. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And then start to be open to other things. So remember, don't try to control it, but you can manage. Be a good manager of yourself, and as best as you can, manage the events that come to you that you can affect in some kind of change. So that's kind of the key. And then be in that moment of, whew, be here. You're always going to play catch up with some kind of memory, mm-hmm. with some kind of grief. There's always going to be some kind of pain that you live with, but that is all assimilated and incorporated into your here now. So, you know, you're in that here now. And then
absolutely.
We'll talk more about how we project and plan and move forward from here next week.
So. And I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, just a quick shout out, Andre put in, you know, thank you for sharing that, Dr. Hunter, about 2-time cancer survivor. And that just goes to show that you have a powerful, you know, force of life. And she herself mentioned that she is a 1-time cancer survivor. So
yeah, there's more of us than I care to think, you know. We're past our best before date, you know, that near expiring thing that you got going on.
Well, that was like 20 years ago for me, but I have, you know, I had an early one.
Well, but I say, when I have a reality check with myself, everybody, if you have taken antibiotics that saved your life, you're in the club. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
We have been really living in extraordinary times these last 50, 80 years. You know, you've got Tylenol for pain. We've got antibiotics for infections. We have some really extraordinary things and that extend our life, that give us that time to move forward. So it's not just, and this is how I reconcile cancer, truly, because it's just another disorder where the cells are out of balance. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. The same way you get a cold, and maybe cancer's a little more, you know, whatever.
Oh,
but
yeah.
People can die of a cold. People die of a flu.
Oh, no,
so
they can.
Pick one. You know, and
well,
it's about the journey.
It is. It's all the odds, and you know, I've often thought of that. The fact, you know, I'm an asthmatic who's had pneumonia 3 times, and it's been pretty bad each time. And I'm just thinking, you know, if I didn't have modern medicine, I would have died 3 or 4 times over by now. And also, just to people that have had those hardships, like yourself, like Audra, you know, it does. You know, the saying, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, that's not always true. But often it is the case that it can fortify. You can fortify the soul, and it can make you prepared for other things coming up in life. Like me, my internet went down for like 2 hours last week, and I had to deal with that. And that trauma made me a better person. So, but obviously I use humor to get through life. But, you know, I think... And I think that is one thing that we've got to run out of time, but that is one thing I would also throw out there. Don't let anybody tell you the right way to grieve. I have a dark sense of humor. When I'm grieving, when I'm upset, when I'm hurting, I can have a dark sense of humor, and I could say things that, you know, are, I can joke about it, but it's to deal with things. So don't let anybody judge you into how you should be.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree, Michael. I'd like to thank everybody. We're going to pull some cards here. We're getting ready. I know Allison is up first, but I want to thank a few other folks who've shared their story in the chat. And Dr. Edward, I'd like to hear more about your NDE. He's a cardiac arrest survivor and not afraid of death anymore. I drowned when I was 5, and I had an NDE too. So,
oh, wow.
I appreciate that. I haven't been afraid of death. It's not that I want to leave everybody, But I'm certainly not afraid to transition. Now, see, I think dead is easy. Getting dead is the more difficult part. It's like how that happens. That's my kind of thing, you know. So it's, you know, we all have our stuff. And I think when the more traumatic events, you either appreciate it or you become more fearful. And I know a lot of people have had experiences and they grow very nervous and fearful and so on. Whereas others, you have your choice. As you said earlier, Michael, we have a choice. Mm-hmm. How are you going to deal with this? Because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Life and death and changes and ups and downs and arounds. It's all going to happen. You want to participate or not. It's how are you going to do that?
Well said. Very well said.
So let's draw cards for Allison now, shall we?
I think we shall. All right. Let's see what the cards have in store. Ah, this is a fun one. My personal favorite for longtime listeners, wild card number one, Paradox.
Paradox.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Ooh, Allison, I think you're onto something big here in your life, because paradox, I love paradox myself, but you have the world in support of that. So it's how I'm seeing this is how will you weed out what you want to have in your life and create more of, and what is it that doesn't serve you anymore that you think you need? And so this, I would say that this is like an assessment time. So kind of what we're talking about even tonight might apply. Are you ready to let go of things that no longer serve you? Perhaps, because your goal, I think you have what I'm seeing here is you have a goal in mind, but you can't take everything with you to that goal. So you're really creating all the world is there for you. Opportunities are opening up. So lighten your load and move forward. That's what I want to say to you. Hope that makes sense. So. All right, Michael, we have Jamil next. Have I got Michael? Have I lost Michael? Did Michael mute himself, or did we just...
No, I never talk while I'm on mute. Come on, Dr. Hunter. That's never, ever happened. We have Allison, excuse me. We just did Allison. Dr. Raven. I'm sorry. We have Dr. Raven up
I missed
next.
Raven.
All right. And Dr. Raven, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. Hope that connects.
Well, Six of Diamonds might help make it some sense here, Michael, because I think it has a lot to do with finances, Raven, and perhaps some entrepreneurship here, money coming and going. I know it's also year-end and taxes, you know, but I'm seeing you juggling some money, and with some creativity, I see some doors opening. So it might feel a little stressful for a moment, but just know that you are insightful and you do have enough experience to find your way through this. And I see, in my view, it might be a little early to say this, but I think 2022 is going to be a good one for you. It's going to be an improvement from the last couple of years financially. So
good.
I went out on a limb there, Michael.
Good message. It's a, you know, if we're going to go out on a limb, let's go out on a positive limb, huh?
There you go.
All right. And let me check my list. I think we have, yep, Jamil. Have you up
All
next?
Right.
And Jamil, I have number 23 for you, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Boy, the Ace of Clubs, the Ace of Wands in tarot language, is a big acknowledgement of achievement, first of all, Jamil. And I feel from that meaning and purpose, and this, you know, Ace of Clubs is saying to continue to fulfill yourself, and you will continue to achieve and acquire the position that you want, or that you're looking for. It's like proving something to yourself. And with a certain positioning, you feel like you have accomplished something. So I think I think the dial is turning here. But I also want to say that I feel like you're more confident in who you are, and things are starting to really make sense to you. So take a moment to look at all that you have achieved, and look forward to what you're going to continue to achieve more and greater. That's how I see that.
Very good. Very good. All right. We have Dr. Jeff up next, if I'm on track here.
We are, and I think.
Keeping it in the 20s, I pulled number 20, deliberate intent.
Mm-hmm.
The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, Jeff, this is with the Five of Hearts here. It's just saying that you still need a moment before you throw out that deliberate intent, because there's a clarity that you're still trying to sort through. So it's like the opportunities are there for you, but you're still aligning your energies to move into that. I hope that makes sense to you, and I'm not meaning to hold you back in any way, but if you're feeling it, it's just because you still need a minute, and that could be a day, it could be a week. Maybe you need for the rest of the holidays before you focus that deliberate intent. But just know that it's already in motion. But if you're not participating fully in it, because you're not ready. And that's okay. And really, if we think about this whole conversation tonight, it's sometimes we need that extra minute to catch up with ourselves. We need the rest. We need to organize. We need the conversations. And a good night's sleep, and okay, I'm ready. And you'll know it. You'll wake up one morning, you'll say, I'm ready. And that energy is already in motion, and you're in alignment with it. So there's stuff going on. It's happening.
Good message. All right, and let me see. Tamara, okay.
Yeah.
Tamara, I have number 39, education. All right. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first, look for the answers yourself, and then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, Tamara, I pulled out two cards, and I tell you why. Because the first one was that Eight of Spades. And the Eight of Spades can feel some constraints, confinement, uncertain. So with continued education, it's like you might feel, I just don't have the time or space, and I don't have the energy for continuing to learn. I still need to digest what I already have. And so I thought, okay, and where's that going? And it's the Six of Hearts in support of that. Is you're still in alignment, learning this alignment with people of like mind and feeling a comfort that brings a confidence and that sense of calm that gives you the space and energy and that drive to keep learning. You know, so if you've been having, again, I'm going out on a limb, Michael, here, but it's just what this is telling me, Tamara, if you felt like, you know, you haven't had enough time or things are holding you back, it's just you building a confidence and sorting things out where, you know, there might be a lot of distractions kind of thing or people, and get your focus in line and you're going to kill it. Not literally, you know what I mean? It's just you're moving forward with it. So the encouragement here is that you are aligning with new people of like mind. And who are asking questions like you are and sorting things out like you are. So I'm encouraged for you. But take a minute and sort that out, and you got some good stuff going on.
Good message. Very good message.
All okay, right. We have Audra next.
All right. Always happy to pull a card for Audra.
Yep.
I have number 9, Empowerment. Number 9, Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. All right, so hope that connects. Dr. Hunter, do we have you?
Oh, you mean the mute button?
Ha!
Michael, you caught
me. Yeah, see?
Oops, sorry.
It's not just me, although I've never done it, but it's not just me.
Oh, gee whiz. I wanted to say to Audra, the first thing that comes to mind here, Audra, is don't let them push you around. So with empowerment, I pulled the 9 of clubs. And sometimes I see it as a guard card, you know, in simple terms. It's about putting up those energies that deflect and, you know, let it blow through you, all the stress of people around. This is a stressful kind of time, really. It's that time of year also. Not for me it's stressful, but for other people it's stressful. I see it a lot. And so if you feel like people, hey, look, I've been working part-time in this little artisan store. It's great fun. But we have noticed this year in particular people are more demanding, more reactionary, temperamental, and I have to laugh it off. I just shake my head.
Now talk about the customers in your store.
Yeah, I mean, it can be a little bit weird, you know, with people. So just deflect it, Audra. Just know that you are who you are and stay really strong in who you are and as calm as possible. And I know it's not always, you know, easy. I mean that. But if you have somebody to kind of banter with on the side, and feel like mocking people a little bit, that can make you feel a little better. So you got to have fun with it without other people's expense.
Well,
oh, she said, I manage a convenience store. Don't even get me started on difficult customers. That's funny.
Oh, God, yeah. Just remember, the customer is not always right.
This is
not
true.
At all. But
you know, I have to share this story, everyone. I went to work this morning. And I told Michael this before the program. Actually, the owner called me, and so I was prepared. I got there, and somebody had smashed the door in. and stolen a bunch of stuff out of the store. Now, she's evidently upset. She's had her issues in the past while dealing with things. And I step up. The police are there. Got the forensic unit calling the glass people. And just staying calm. People are wanting to come in the store. And I say, I'm sorry, you have to give us a few hours, you know, that kind of thing. And there's one woman that said, well, I want some charcuterie boards. Do you have any? I said, yeah, we do. Can you hold them up in the window for me so I can see what you have? No, we're not allowed to touch anything because we're taking inventory. Oh, well, when are you going to open? There was no regard at all. And I just, honestly, my eyebrows went right up to my hairline. I went, are you kidding me?
I mean,
and
really?
I couldn't do anything but laugh. There's an officer there, and I just started laughing and shook my head and walked away. And they get it. You know, oh, we all get it. Yes, this is all about you, dear customer.
Yes, and it's just, honestly, you know, it's like this idea that they're the only person in the universe, that the world revolves around them, that, you know, it's kind of along the line of, you know, I think therefore I am, but I can't prove it for any of you, so I'm just going to pretend that I'm the sole person in this universe, right?
I know. Audra just said she recently had somebody throw a bottle through their window, shattered it, the whole thing in the middle of the day, and people are losing their minds. And look, I think, again, we're under a lot of pressure. We're going to talk a little bit more about that stuff next week.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
It's just, no, you have to just chill out. The more stressful and heighten that energy, go within yourself and be calmer and just shake your head. And again, watch those eyebrows and that you don't hurt your eyes going in the back of your head. But we still have Edward on our list, Michael. So let's draw cards for Edward, shall we?
All right. Well, we can't round out the night without getting a card for Dr. Edward. And I have number 18, Evolution, for you. Let's see. I had it open here just a second. All right. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not, personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Edward, I got the Jack of Hearts. What I love about that is I'm respectful that you're in my community of an older generation, but this is like becoming more youthful in some way, or regaining some kind of youthfulness or some kind of energy and enthusiasm. And so in your evolution, it's kind of like a full circle in a way of picking up on a piece of yourself that would get excited again, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that would motivate or energize you. So that Jack of Hearts is about feeling good and energized. But again, I'm feeling that youthfulness to it also. Of course, we talk about time and states of mind. It's all in our brains. But let me tell you, everybody, getting older and your health is a full-time job. So don't let them say, oh, it's all a state of mind. No, it's a state of body.
Well, I've been using all my time to grow older, so I don't know what you want me to do.
That's funny, Michael. Well, I think that's all the names for tonight, Michael, that I can see. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to next week. But everyone, we're all going through changes, so two things to remember. Control versus management.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in your spirit, in your body. Call your spirit back. And be okay with grief. It's all kinds of layers of grief. And how we manage it is really up to us. And just roll with the tides. Because that's sometimes the best we can do.
Absolutely. And, you know, roll with the tides. Always good advice. Always good advice. Life is always going to throw things at us. And, you know, we can't control that. We control how we react to it. Just like you were saying. So, well, it's been, you know, a fun and interesting, engaging conversation. I'm looking forward to next week. And it's going to be kind of the companion piece. We're talking about letting go. And next week we're going to talk about looking forward. So
absolutely.
I look forward to you joining us and to joining you, Dr. Hunter. That was a little play on words.
It is. And happy Yule yesterday. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Time. Happy season, everyone, mm-hmm. in whatever manner you celebrate with your families. This is a wonderful time of year to connect, contemplate, you know, and be with people and things you love if you're able. And at the very least, do things that feel good to you. There's more light in a day now, even if it's a few seconds. And
yep,
so
for those of us in the
that new life is coming. So happy season to everybody.
Yes, wonderful. Wonderful season to everybody, and looking forward to next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.